The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend on this show, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and hopefully have a bit of fun. I'm your host, Matthew Watkins, and today we're going to be discussing President M. Russell Ballard. Unfortunately, at the time of this recording, very recently dearly departed M. Russell Ballard. His talk from the October 2023 General Conference entitled Praise to the Man. And for this episode, we invited a special guest, my friend Greg Mattson from The Quick Show. That's C-W-I-C, for those of you who don't speak Old English. And he's going to be sharing his thoughts with us. How are you doing, Greg?
Doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for inviting me again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Now, this is a little bit different from the talks you usually select.
Yeah, this one was, it's very simple. Of course, I had no idea that Elder Ballard would be passing away here just a couple days ago when I selected this. But one thing I thought about with this talk was I did like the simplicity of it. And then, you know, I'll start us off with a quick experience I had with him. And that's one reason why I wanted to do it is I've met him and talked to him. And when I was on my mission. This is going to give you my age, but I was on my mission in Mexico City in September of 1985. And we were at a conference and Elder Ballard was there speaking. Now at the time in September, he was a 70. And he had served in the bishopric with my mission president. So they were good friends. And he was also, you know, assigned to the missionary program. And so he was out with us and he gave us there were about five of us that he spent time with. And he talked about President Nelson, you know, Elder Nelson at the time and he had just come in to the quorum. And he said, he was talking about the story. I don't know if you've heard this about then Elder Nelson was a renowned heart surgeon, right? In fact, I've had triple bypass surgery and President Nelson saved my life because the machine that was used for me was the machine that he co-developed. And so anyway, but there was an opera singer in China. You know, President Nelson's very close to China, right? So there's an opera singer in China who is world famous and a national hero, and he has a heart problem. And so President Nelson had already left being a surgeon, but was asked by the Chinese government, like the highest up, to come in to China and operate on him, on the opera singer. And so he was talking about how there were all these things happening with China. And, you know, back then Hong Kong was not part of China and Hong Kong and other things. But anyway, it was kind of interesting. But I was able to spend a full afternoon with Elder Ballard at the time. And he taught us a lot of things. And, you know, there is another thing he said that was really interesting. So this was, I specifically said it was September 85. He was called to be an apostle in October 85. So just a few weeks later in conference, he was put in as apostle. He told us at the time that he was going to be the apostle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had been called at least by then.
Wow. That's impressive.
I don't think that was just a spiritual prompting.
It's not going to escape Mexico.
Yeah, I can leak this.
Well, moving on to his talk, very different from any talk he's ever given, really from any talk, at least in my lifetime, that I can remember a general authority going off teleprompter. I think there were times when maybe President Monson decided to
ad-lib some jokes, tell some stories, and wiggle his ears. But aside from that, I think out of respect for the translators, they've always been very on message. And then he gets up and he says, look, I can't even see the teleprompter, so I'm just going to speak to you guys directly. And I think there was some raw power in that. Again, he didn't go into deep doctrine. He didn't have a million footnotes. He didn't have the stuff that a study worm like me might appreciate. But the experience of listening to him just testify from his soul directly at us, as if he were in like a zone conference or a stake conference. That whole experience was powerful for me.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. You know, the talks are always so good. They're so well written. They're so well timed. They're never off timing. You know, it's like everything just runs so smoothly. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wish it was a little looser, right? I wish you had an Elder Ballard type talk. Maybe once every session, there's one that gets assigned. They're like, you're on your own. You know, run with the spirit and you're on your own. Anyway, I enjoyed that too. I thought it was very raw. I thought it was, and I liked what he talked about. I mean, he's, you know, obviously tied closely to Joseph Smith, and he talks about him actually quite a bit. But I like what he said. It's so simple, and I think it's so true. He starts off and says, you know, we thank the Lord for Joseph Smith and for his courage to go into the grove of trees in 1820. And so that's the first thing I think about is everything starts from asking. Right? You and I are members of the church because one kid went out and asked. And I don't think we do that enough. I think we ask, or maybe we don't ask for the right things, but I think that asking is a very important thing to do. And, you know, I don't think that things get launched without that typically. You've got to be in a position where you are ready to receive, and you're not ready if you're not asking. And so I like that. The other thing he said that I really liked was just talking about everything that we know and how grateful we are. I kid my kids and a couple other family members that are not maybe, I've got a couple family members that are not completely active in the church. And I say, you know, you have Mormon privilege. You know, you've grown up in a way with your family that is like, everything has been so good in so many different ways, primarily because of the gospel. And to not know yet what the world out there has to offer and the other options that are available, you don't know what you don't know yet. And sometimes I think that Mormon privilege is something a lot of us have. We don't realize, for example, that a lot of people are lost. They're just really lost in who they are, what their purpose is, as Elder Ballard says, what they're doing here on earth and what the plan is, what's the way forward.
Yeah, we tend to assume that maybe others are operating on the same foundations we are, but just maybe a couple shades darker or something. When in reality, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of questions that go unanswered and people wrestle with and stay awake at night wondering that we have the beautiful answers to all of them now. Obviously, it takes faith to believe those, but just being able to just have something so concise and simple that answers the questions of the soul is such a blessing.
He goes over a couple of these points about what we're grateful for. One of them is the Book of Mormon. And I know in my life that is a tool that I would not be in the same place and not have the same thought process if I did not have the Book of Mormon. There is no other book that I read that has the same spirit to it, even including other books of scripture. And so you think about, you know, what does the restoration bring in? It's okay. There is the knowledge. There's the purpose, right? By understanding who we are, that identity. And then there's these tools that without these, you know, priesthood and the Book of Mormon and the temples and all these things that give our life the structure and path, the covenant path toward that changes our lives. I was speaking with someone today and she was saying about how, you know, things that are happening in the world and how lost people can be. You know, look at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, you know, or Ukraine and Russia, and people getting sucked into so many other ideologies and politics and wars and things that you get over anxious about because they seem like everything. Mm-hmm. But if you have these other things in place and you've got this focus on the Savior, it's not that they're not big things and they're not important things, but I don't know. I think it gives you some balance that maybe some others don't have.
I mean, you think about it. One of the parts of the Book of Mormon that stands out to me a lot was when Mormon and Moroni are bridging that last horrible end to their entire civilization. And they keep mentioning, hey, we are really skimping you on the details here. I mean, you read Moroni chapter 9 and you see cannibalism and all sorts of problems that we can't even, you know, say on a YouTube show, right? And then he says, but I'm skimping you a lot of the details because I don't want you guys to be overwhelmed and have too much sadness for what my people did. Like, be wise, learn from our mistakes, but I'm sparing you a lot of the gory details specifically to shield you from that. And I wonder, okay, why? Like, isn't that making it less impactful? And really what it boils down to, I've noticed, is Jesus Christ says, okay, I don't let you know or consciously think about all the problems of the world all the time, because that's my job as the Savior. Your job is to be involved where you can help and to certainly care about the issues, but not to let it weigh you down. This gospel is one of joy. And I mean, President Ballard was a great example of that. I mean, here he is, even in his last talk, cracking jokes, and all the brethren have just been extremely positive individuals.
Here again, I'm aging myself, but same year, 1985, Bruce R. McConkie gives his last talk in April of 85. It was the month before I left on my mission. Very impactful for me. And it was very obvious, he knew he wasn't going to be around.
Man, I remember hearing that one. That one gave me chills.
Yeah, yeah. And that the tears of his eyes would be falling on the feet of the Savior. And so, you know, it reminded me a little bit here of that, because he said, talking about going through the veil, and then he said, I'm pretty close. And it turns out he was about 6 weeks close.
Yeah. He said, we're in the process of trying to prepare ourselves a day at a time to be a little better, be a little kinder, be a little more prepared for that day, which will surely come when we shall pass back into the presence of our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's getting a little closer for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wonder, did he have a little inkling? I don't doubt that a lot of people do, regardless of whether they're apostles or not, but he may have known that this was his last talk.
And with that in mind, you think of, again, returning to the Book of Mormon, Mormon and Moroni were very particular and very careful about what they chose to include on the plates. And so everything in there carries a profound message for us. Likewise, if President Ballard did know that at least his time was very short, he was very particular and very careful about what to choose for the topic of his last conference talk. And to start it out, it just hits me more powerfully now than it did, you know, a week ago. I'd like to share with you some things that have been in my mind. I have seemed to have the Prophet Joseph in my mind the last few months. I think of the Restoration Proclamation that went out, what was that, April 2020, right? That everyone just, I don't know, maybe I'm projecting. Everyone was expecting, oh, there's a proclamation coming. And this just kind of seems like a reaffirmation of, you know, Joseph Smith history. But then again, we said the same thing about Family Proclamation when it came out in 1995 too. So it's powerful to me that he chooses his last breath, so to speak, to bear testimony of the restoration.
Yeah, and it is that way, right? I mean, I read it again here, the way he's speaking in the past tense on this. He says toward the end, oh, how I love you. What a glorious experience that's been to look into your faces, be in your presence, and feel your love that you have for the Lord and for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's definitely looking back, and may again, it just seems like he knows what's going to happen here. And you know I remember I had a near-death experience on my mission, and I was not afraid. I really wasn't. I felt like this may be it right here. And I know it's because I was living right and because I just felt the spirit with me. And it was like, this is okay. Now, of course, I didn't have a family and, you know, wife and kids and responsibilities like that, that I would be pulled away from, but from other people like that. But I, you know, I wonder how he feels about this. I mean, what I hope I can feel that way again if I know my time's coming up.
Well, and I feel bad for the guy because his last few months of life was marred by controversy over Tim Ballard.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, that's what everyone's focusing on. And he's trying to get his focus back on the restoration. Everyone's focused on this thing, but really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad he didn't even address it. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he ought to be bearing testimony, and that's what he did.
One thing that he pointed out here that it hit me hard when he talked about Joseph Smith. After he says, we have the Book of Mormon, he says, we have it because Joseph was worthy to go get the plates. I see a lot of people, even in the church, maligning Brother Joseph. They say, oh, well, you know, yes, you know, they take the true, you know, aspect of fallibility, which I think you actually just wrote about recently, and then they extend it way in the heck out there.
Yeah.
To try and say Joseph was uniquely unqualified and uniquely bad and uniquely problematic and make him out to be some sort of swindling monster. And I see that a lot, especially from academia, especially from some of maybe the more intellectual wing of church scholarship and stuff. And yet here's the testimony of President Ballard saying, no, you guys better understand here. When we're talking about character, Joseph was worthy.
You know, you had given me the reference of C.S. Lewis in talking about letter 23, and the title of that letter was The Historical Jesus. And the reason he picked that is because it's with whether it's academia or our own minds and imagination, is when we try to look back at history, we can create almost anything we want out of that. And there's archaeology, there's writings, and the closer you are to that period of time, it's harder to do. But the further you get away from it, you know, the harder it is to put everything together and to understand the character, for example, of someone, the fallibility of someone.
Yeah, because they're not there to defend their intentions, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so that letter from C.S. Lewis was talking about a historical Jesus and how you can have these different versions of a historical Jesus. And obviously, you can do the same thing with Joseph Smith and create the historical Joseph Smith of your imagination, and especially if it's coming from a place of criticism and cynicism.
So I appreciated President Ballard giving that a call. It was like a milder version of what Elder Neil L. Anderson said a few years ago when he just said, brother and sisters, give Brother Joseph a break.
Yeah. And you know what else? I'll say this. I was thinking about this today. You know, there's one of my favorite movies in recent 20 years or whatever it is a movie called Meet Joe Black. It's with Brad Pitt, and he is Death. And I guess that has nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but there's a well, it does. Brad Pitt says to this guy who's kind of quirky and not really got things together, and he marries the daughter of this very wealthy man, which is the story is really all about. And Brad Pitt as Death is kind of liking another daughter of this wealthy man.
I'm sorry, is this a rom-com with the Grim Reaper?
It's a rom-com with the Grim Reaper. It's not much of a com, a little bit.
Okay.
But it is a rom. And he says, how do you know you love your wife to this guy? And he says, because she knows the worst thing about me and loves me anyway. Right. And it's there is that growth in relationships, especially in marriage, where you realize each other's fallibility over and over again, and yet you give grace and you give love and you react in different ways, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but you oddly, both from a position of weakness, pull each other up. You know, if you're looking back at him, the prophet Joseph, it's like, yeah, there's fallibilities. Yes, you can find some things out and maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. You want a good relationship with someone, you need to learn about them and you need to see if you can build some faith in them and trust.
He didn't stop being a prophet because he was wrong about the Kirkland Safe Society.
Yeah.
He didn't stop being a prophet because he had a temper. That's not how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
But what a beautiful testimony from President Ballard about the foundation of the Restoration. Again, when you speak of the tents, a little bit of haunting language for me reading it this past time is in his closing sentence. He says, I leave you my witness. It almost sounds like a last will and testament. I leave you my witness and testimony that I know that Jesus is the Christ. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is our best friend. The sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen. What a way to go out with a bang, man. Makes me want to go back and read the Restoration Proclamation over again. That hasn't gotten nearly the love I think it probably should have.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discuss President M. Russell Ballard's address, Praise to the Man. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org. ConferenceTalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in this episode, learn more about us, your hosts. If you want to follow me, Matthew Watkins, you can follow me at powerinthebook.com or on Twitter at JoyfulRepenter. And big thanks to our podcast guest today, Greg Mattson. You can follow him at Quick Media. That's again, CWICmedia.com, or check out his YouTube channel. I really love the videos that he publishes on critical race theory, on the intersection of social issues and the gospel, and really boiling down his Come Follow Me series and down to the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. He covers a wide gamut of stuff, and I certainly appreciate it. But while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophets and apostles themselves. Remember that although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions, for the which we invite you to tune in next week on the Conference Talk Podcast.